Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
No matter what, I'm still going to have integrity. I'm still going to, I don't mean to quote Michelle Obama, but I mean, when they go low, we go high.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina.
Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hey, angels. Make sure to head over to my website, AishaChristina.com, to download my free guide on idolatry. I promise it's really going to bless you. If you are interested in preventing delay in your life and you want to get rid of certain idols, this is the guide for you. Click the link in the description box below.
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. How is everyone feeling? If you're watching this in person, listen, I was going to do my makeup and then I was like, I brought my makeup with me too to actually do it. Thankfully, I have on lashes, so it kind of looks like I have a little sun going on and some brow gel, but that's really the extent of it. I have on absolutely no face makeup, but I'm not even really too like upset about it because, you know, it's summer anyways, and like, I guess it's just something a little bit different. I don't know, but my hair is crimped, so that's new, and also I am back blonde. I did intend when I was in Dallas to go blonde, but for some reason, I just kept my, brown hair or my, I don't know, brunette black hair because I decided when I was there to wash all three of my wigs, which, yes, I actually did vlog that whole process. And the blonde wig literally took the longest to dry. And I brought a different one other than this one because I thought it would be less frizzy. But then that one ended up being frizzy. I think it was the shampoo and conditioner that was used, which was Le Labo, which those types of shampoos and conditioners, I don't think are meant to help with like the manageability of hair. I think those types of shampoos and conditioners are solely for the fragrance aspect. And so it smells good, but the functionality, it just really didn't do what it was supposed to do. So I ended up just whatever. Anyways, I also want to give a mini update. You guys, I'm just going to keep it so real with you. I am going through it. I realized that when I used to fast, like absolutely not much would be eventful. And it wasn't until pretty much this entire year. The irony is, now that I'm externally processing this, after my 25-day fast that I did, the Year of the Bride fast, January, things started getting a little bit weird. By March, they were, spiritually, it was, the warfare was at a new height. Like, the frustration was at a new height. And it was feelings that I have never experienced and felt before. And I'm finding that in certain moments, those feelings are arising again. And it's very frustrating for me. Very frustrating. To be honest with you guys, before we get into the episode, yesterday I was extremely irritable. Like, I had zero desire to do much of anything. And I just let myself. I'm going to have an extremely productive week this week. Like, I have no choice. I have so many things I have to get done. And I was talking to Jordan about, you know, some stuff the other day. And he was telling me, well, Aisha, you are adding a lot of things to your plate. And I don't know why. It wasn't until he said that where I'm like, you know what? He's right. So it's like, it's not like I'm doing the same thing over and over again and everything's, you know, predictable. It's I'm adding more things to my plate. So there's a lot more pressure. And I thought that I filmed more episodes than I actually did. And I felt like the system that my team and I had going was flawless. And it is flawless still. but I out of nowhere realized, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm playing catch up all of a sudden. And when I work, I like to work and I like to get things done immediately. And having a team adds the perfect amount of pressure for me and creates a amazing ecosystem in order for me to get things done in a timely manner as much as possible. So I'm very grateful for the small team that I have, and they know who they are and they mean so much to me, seriously. But this, I mean, I just got done with another fast that I did in the beginning of the month. And immediately, I remember Tiffany Montgomery sent out an email today saying that the fast that we were doing was called the Forgive Fast Fast. And she said, do not think for one second. I actually want to see if I can pull it up because it is so relevant to me. And I was fully prepared, by the way, like seeing her say this, I knew I was, but it's just reading it at first, I'm thinking, all right, like how bad could it really be? Like I'm staying alert, I'm staying vigilant, but I don't know. So let me go to it right now. Let me see. Yes. She said, the real test happens after the fast. Don't think for one second that you can join a 3-day fast called Forgive Fast and the enemy is not going to tempt you with anger and betrayal and offense and everything else that can be thrown at you. Don't fall for it. Don't be moved by the enemy. It's not the person coming after you. It's a spirit operating through them, and no amount of arguing with them will kill the root of the problem like prayer can. Now, speaking of prayer, as soon as I saw that she wrote this morning, I remember I feel like the Holy Spirit was telling me I need to really start tarrying in the Holy Spirit. Like I have gotten into the habit of prayer and fasting, but I feel like my prayer has not been as strong as I would like it to be. And then my dad ministered to me today and said that I need to make sure that I'm continuing on with that prayer. And I believe that that's because it's new. It's definitely going to be new heights and I'm going to need the protection. I am of the belief that it's not only, new level, new devil. Like, I don't always believe that. I believe that also there's protection to avoid things from happening. Just because you were elevating doesn't have to mean that you were going to experience adversity. Because I think hearing that rhetoric almost makes you feel like that has to happen. Although majority of the time we find that to be true, I just think it's better to think like, okay, new levels means stronger protection, stronger fort of your, walls and everything like that, protecting yourself all around. Then she also says, so continue to play dead, be unmoved and unbothered by the enemy's attempt to frustrate you. This happened to me today. I'm reading this morning and I'm like, okay, noted. I'm going to stay vigilant. And when I tell you, it's almost like I am like snapping and I'm very even tempered, but it's almost like I'm speaking ahead of what I'm thinking, which is not, it's very atypical of me. So I'm like, okay, let me really reel it in. And when I tell you, in all transparency, yesterday, I had some scriptures to read from the homework that Tiffany had assigned for the fast. And when I tell you, I was just like, it was such a stubborn spirit in me that for some reason, I just did not want to read it. But I knew that it was the remedy. I knew that that was the remedy to how I was feeling. But yet there was like such a strong spirit of like, no, like I don't want to do this. I'd rather be on TikTok. I'd rather be doing. And I was very conscious of these things while it was happening. And yet I was still finding myself doing them. So I'm saying this to you to serve as a relatable moment to let you guys know that I am very much still on this journey with you. And because I've never experienced this level of, man, like just like irritation, I feel like this is not familiar territory to me. Like it feels like genuinely a new level of something else that I'm encountering here. And I said, you know what? I know the enemy. I was telling one of my best friends, Justine, I know the enemy wants to convince me that you might as well just stop because things are getting, you know, they're heating up. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to stop because the altar that I'm building to Christ needs to be higher than anything else. And the only thing, the only altar that I have. And also, I'm uprooting things. You know, Tiffany also mentions that, you know, sometimes people will fast and say, oh, since I fasted, then this happened, da, 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 da. And she says, no, those things already were going on. The fasting just brought them into the light. She also proceeds to say, smile in their face and live your life with joy. Kill your flesh so that you can't feel the attack and allow God to fight the battle for you while you go to war in the realm of the spirit. But whatever you do, pass this test or you'll find yourself taking it over again and again and again and again and again. When I tell you how much that has truly blessed me, like even just reading that again, it has truly blessed me because this is why having good godly community around you is very, very important. And also this is why having resources such as this are important to help serve as encouragement to let you know, obviously, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? We know that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. It is the spirit that is in people that we are wrestling against. And so having that awareness, it genuinely does bring me a lot of peace. But I wanted to start off with that update because I just wanted to talk to you guys. And I really just wanted to get that off my chest because truly, I need to get it out. And it was really weighing on me. And I want to show all sides. The purpose of me incorporating my platform, pivoting my platform to really focusing on Christ as King, as my foundation, and being vocal about Jesus is to show you guys how I live out my faith in everyday life, how I do that, how I navigate these things, the things that I'm feeling, the frustrations that I'm experiencing, so I can look back and have these moments documented and also be able to help serve as a better teacher for you guys when you guys encounter things that are similar. So today I want to get into why giving up is not an option. Have you ever experienced a time in your life where you wanted to give up? You wanted to throw in the towel? You felt like it just no point in this situation. It's not going to work out, whatever. And so the first scripture is coming from Galatians 6 verses 9, where it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It is so important that we do not give up in these moments and that we really learn the importance of continuing on in the good works, even when it seems difficult or unrewarding. You know, there was a prayer that I read. I really feel like the Holy Spirit is moving for me right now. Wow. There was a prayer that I read in the Bible, and it's one that often comes when you do the daily refresh on the Bible app. And it was saying, God, like, please help guide me in moments where following you leaves me feeling disrespected. It leaves me feeling isolated. It leaves me feeling, you know, not the best. Like, help me to navigate through those situations. That is how I feel like this, you know, this scripture is also addressing these things. Do not grow weary in doing good. You know what? This is the last time I'm being nice to this person. They keep ticking me off. Listen, what do you do when the person that you're not getting along with is in your house? What do you do? It's easy to let things go when you're barely seeing the individual. But I remember I would always see comments about people talking about, oh, what do I do when, like, it's family, da da da. And it is hard. It is so much easier to be on this side and say, girl, just ignore it. You know, just like keep your head in the scripture, da da da. And this is like, it's a thorn in your side where you really want to tell this person off, but you're like, listen, I don't feel like repenting for what it is that I'm about to say. So let me keep it cute. And we have to remember that God sees everything. I heard Sarah Jake say, you know, the other day in a clip that someone used where she said, God saw that. God saw what they did to you. In this fast that Tiffany was doing, this corporate fast, I'm so grateful that I did it, God bless her, where she literally said, just because you forgive someone does not absolve them from reaping what it is that they sowed. So do not think that because you are doing it the godly way, where you are being kind to someone, you're not being reactive or anything like that. Do not think that it is for no reason. This scripture right here in first, you know, in Galatians is literally saying, let us not become weary in doing good. For at a proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I know in our flesh how exhausting it can feel where you kind of feel like a little bit of a loser. It's like, man, you're really just going to let this person do this over and over again? Now, I do want to say there is a such thing as boundaries, right? Having boundaries is very important. So depending on your situation, you have to understand how to act accordingly. What I believe that this scripture is aiming at is not allowing your anger or frustration to lead you into the action of producing sin, such as being disrespectful, calling someone out of their name, making up salacious lies about them. Whatever it is, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. If you continue on this path of saying, you know what, no matter what, I'm still going to have integrity. I'm still going to, I don't mean to quote Michelle Obama, but I mean, when they go low, we go high. Okay. And it is not an easy thing to do. And I believe that there's a reason that I have touched on these topics so often. Not only am I experiencing them, amen, but it's really about the fact that people go through this type of stuff, these types of things every day. What do you do on your job? You have to be around certain people every single day on your job. Are you going to quit your job because this person is looking at you funny and they're trying to, you know, spread rumors about you? So we have to understand that sometimes the enemy will plant thorns in our side. But I have the understanding, and I need you guys to have the understanding, that it is the trying of our faith that worketh patience. The trying of our faith. God, you saw that. God, you see I'm trying. I'm running out of patience. And God is saying, have faith in what my word says. Do not become weary, daughter. Do not become weary, son, because in the proper time, you will reap a good harvest. Let me tell you something. Having a kingdom mindset, I want you guys to adapt a kingdom mindset. That means that the things that we are doing on this earth are just temporary. The things that we experience on this earth are temporary because the things that we should be participating in are for our eternal life. So that when we see God, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That, my friends, is the ending that we want, right? It does not matter what's going on in this earthly realm for the most part, because we know the place that we are going to end up. We know the place that we are in pursuit of, and that is heaven. You know, how many times have you been able to reap what it is that you have sown, where it's like, man, I'm so glad I didn't blow up on this person because God convicted this person's heart and this person came around and apologized to me after many, many years and said, you know, hey, I'm sorry. And then you have moments like that where you think, man, I'm so glad that I held on to God's promise and that I didn't grow weary in well-doing and that I kept my composure because this person felt convicted. Little do they know, you know, unbeknownst to them, maybe or maybe not, to actually apologize for what it is that they did. This goes for all aspects in life. What do you do? What fruit is produced out of you? Whatever is in is going to come out. What is produced out of you when you experience moments of negativity? This does not mean that we cannot have boundaries. This does not mean to not speak up for yourself at an appropriate time, but it is up to us to discern what that appropriate time is and also our actions. James 1 verses 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Wow. Just said that. "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The word "finish" means an end or final part or stage of something, or in the manner in which something is completed in detail, okay? Or bring a task or activity to an end, complete. So let me think about it. What tasks have you been given by the Holy Spirit? We have to finish the race strong because it is a race, okay? We have to remember that we have to let our perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I'm going to say this again. Persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. You need to make sure that you are finishing your task to completion despite delay in your life, despite difficulty in your life. You have to be persistent. Isn't that what faith is really about? Because if faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, then it makes sense that we have to pursue something in spite of difficulty or delay, even when we can't see it. Because like Pastor Jerry Flowers said, the opposite of faith is not fear. It is sight. What we don't see, we can allow to discourage us. That's in our flesh. That is the fleshly way of looking at things. God, I don't see it. I don't see how this is going to happen. But we have to believe. I believe when Peter was walking on the water and he started to sink as soon as he started paying attention to all his circumstances. And I know in our flesh, it's like, what do you mean I can't pay attention to my circumstances? The saints, this is the radical level of faith that God wants us to have, that we are responsible for pursuing. That's the level of faith. And I try and remind myself of that all the time. Like, Aisha, kingdom mindset, it doesn't matter what you see. It matters that you believe. That's why it says when we pray, we have to believe that it is done. And this is why I love that scripture that says, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Think about that. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. How many times do you feel like, God, I don't see it. I know what you said, but I don't see it. And this is why the exercise of finding scriptures to speak over your circumstances is so important. So you can really eradicate what the enemy is trying to put into your mind by speaking God's word over it. The concept of trials is an opportunity for growth. The end goal, it says in scripture, is maturity and completeness in faith. When we look at the definition of completeness, it's defined as the state or condition of having all the necessary or appropriate parts. Again, completeness is defined as the state or condition of having all the necessary or appropriate parts. The end goal is maturity and having all the necessary or appropriate parts. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. So this is why whenever things start to kick up and you're uprooting that altar by being faithful to God, you're uprooting those old altars that you used to have that were idolatrous in nature towards whatever that may be in your own respective path. Things start to get very tense when you are uprooting those altars and you are continuing to build your altar to Christ daily. Keep that in mind. Next, we're coming from Hebrew 12 verses 1 through 2. And it's, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So when we think about the metaphor of life as a race and the importance of focusing on Jesus as our example and as our source of strength, we have to remember that in a race, right, some can be marathons, some can be sprints, you can do sprint. There's a bunch of different things that you can do in a race. But when we think about this, running this race with perseverance, persistence, in spite of, continuing on, because at the end of every race, there's a first place, there's a second place, there's always a winner in the race. Luckily, in the kingdom of heaven, it's unlimited. The amount of people that can win the race when we are pursuing and persevering in the things of the Lord. I remember Oprah Winfrey gave this analogy where she was talking about how there was one point where there were so many shows that were being produced that were just like hers, so many talk shows. And her producers would kind of always come to her and tell her, oh, you know, so-and-so has a show now and da-da-da-da. And she was saying, I don't want to hear it. Because when you're running a race, you have to have tunnel vision, aka eyes on Jesus. Because if not, if you're constantly paying attention to who's about to catch up to you and who's next to you and all these different things, you get distracted. You're going to be defeated when you are paying attention to all the external circumstances around you and you're not keeping your eye on the prize. That's what ends up happening. You're so worried about what everyone else is doing that you are not focused on what you should be doing, your divine purpose. What is your mission in life? And when you are running a race, you can't have all this baggage off on you. You have to, like it says in the scripture, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Wow, we can dissect this for like hours. Sin obviously gets you into, like I guess Jada Pinkett Smith says, well, an entanglement. My dad gave this analogy where he was talking about getting into a web is super easy, but getting out of a spider's web is like borderline impossible. That's how it is with sin. It's so easy to get in to sin and to continue to perpetuate sin over and over and over again. But it is very difficult to come out of it. You easily get entangled where it can feel like it's impossible to get out of it. And you do that enough and you stay in your same ways over and over again and you lose the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between not knowing and knowing. Now you become responsible and you still choose to live the way that you're living in spite of. You know what that tells me? That there's a lack of the fear of the Lord. There's a lack of the reverence of God. We don't know the day, the time, or the hour. And the more that I think about this, I really think, wow, this is why there's such an emphasis on staying ready so you don't have to get ready. And I feel this so strongly in my spirit that that is what we must do. No. We do not have, you don't know if you're going to have tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. I posted something on my Instagram the other day that said that procrastination is disobedience in slow motion. Procrastination is disobedience in slow motion. And I said, ooh, I feel convicted. I don't know about you guys, but how arrogant is it of us to just assume I have tomorrow? It's so interesting in life. We want to say, I'm going to live today like it's my last day, but we don't really apply that to the things of the Lord. Isn't it interesting? If you knew for a guaranteed fact, the moment, the hour that Christ is coming back, what would you do differently? A whole lot. But because we do not know that, it really just emphasizes free will that we have, that God is so gracious that he gives us choice power. And considering that, well, it's a good and a bad thing for some people where they feel like, well, I have more time. But do we? If we don't even really know the day, nor the time, nor the hour, or the year? That's why this is so serious. This is so imperative. Throw off everything that is hindering you. When you're hindered, you can't grow. You're stifled. When you're consistently living in iniquity, aka willful sin, you become entangled. You become entangled with the affairs of this world. And when you become entangled with the affairs of this world, you lose sight of what really matters. You lose that kingdom mindset. So then you start to produce actions that only satisfy you temporarily. You start to become, well, from an eternal perspective, very short-sighted. You're just living moment to moment. You don't experience the joy of the Lord because you're focused on the happiness of right now, moment to moment. Something to ponder on and think about. Now, the last scripture that we're going to be coming from is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. And it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. What does it mean by inwardly? Our spirit man. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal, aka the spiritual realm is eternal. The physical realm is not. It is temporary. This directly gives context to what I was talking about focusing on having a kingdom mindset. This is all a part of why giving up is not an option, because it is the things that we don't see, what is manifesting in the spiritual realm, that matters more. And my biggest suggestion to you is to get to know what that's like. We like to enter into the spiritual realm in other ways. We love to enter into the spiritual realm through the new age, through, oh, manifest this and do this and do this ritual and say this chant three times and all these different things. But when it comes to getting into the spiritual aspect of cultivating intimacy with Jesus, it is very difficult. Don't you realize in life that it is the things that are the most difficult to do that tend to be the most rewarding? Don't you realize that it is the things that we struggle to do the most that tend to be the best for us? It's a struggle to eat healthy, but you got to do it because it's going to give you a healthier body. It's a struggle to get up and go to the gym, but you got to move because you don't want all your, you know, bones and your muscles to atrophy. These things tend to be the most rewarding. Don't you realize that Christianity is the most mocked out of all religions? Don't you realize praying to Jesus Christ is so difficult sometimes, even for regular Christians, people that actually they do love the Lord, they do read their Bible, and it is still a struggle. It's a daily thing. We have to die to our flesh daily. And that's because it works. And that's because his blood still works. I've always said this multiple times, that the things in the spiritual realm are more real than things in the physical realm. Whatever is going on in the spiritual realm tends to manifest in the physical realm. There is a stark difference between our temporary struggles and eternal glory. Temporary struggles and eternal glory. Jesus had to temporarily go through that horrible sacrifice that he made, dying on the cross for our sins, for the eternal glory that he now has. It's worth it. Focus on the eternal perspective because it is worth it. If those of you are spiritually inclined, you can feel that something is different. Something has shifted. As a collective, I believe in the body of Christ, we all feel this shift. So many people are coming to Christ, but there's still more work to be done. We have to encourage one another in the body of Christ to turn from our wicked ways. Now, I want to give some brief biblical examples of perseverance in the Bible. One of the main people is Job. Despite Job's intense suffering and loss, Job did not give up on his faith in God. Even when Job's friends were saying, listen, I feel like you must have did something, because how is it that you're getting all this punishment from God? How is this happening for you? And the irony is, God ended up doubling Job's blessings. He had more children, more cattle, more animals to farm, to tend, than he ever had. He was blessed bigger and better, double for his trouble than he initially was. And the irony also is he pleaded to God on his friend's behalf for their forgiveness in God. And he was rewarded for doing so. And God did forgive their his friend's sins. But his friends really thought, like, you must have did something, because why would God be allowing these things to happen to you? And if Job would have lost perspective and said, you know what, you're right, maybe God isn't good because I didn't do anything to warrant this. Did Jesus Christ do anything to warrant the things that he experienced? If Christ had to go through persecution for the things that he did not even do, okay, he was sinless and blameless. When we think about the fact that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we will experience adversity as well. And a lot of the times, it won't be warranted. Temporary struggles versus eternal glory. Hmm. Like I said, we know that Job had extreme perseverance and how God completely restored him abundantly. Next, we have Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul faced numerous hardships, imprisonment, beatings, shipwrecks, yet he continued his ministry with unwavering faith. He wrote many scriptures on endurance and hope. Why is this discussed so much in the Bible? We're seeing these themes here. We're seeing persevere, endure, faith, hope, completion, maturity. That's what life is all about. That's what these tests show us. Listen, yes, Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. These things that we endure on this earth are pale in comparison. If our lives, again, think about this, are modeled after Jesus Christ, we will endure. It is all biblical. To some degree, persecution, being on this earth, being a follower of Jesus Christ. Just because we get saved doesn't mean that we'll never experience something ever again. Just because we are praying daily doesn't mean that you will not experience warfare. These are the trials and tribulations. Jesus wants to know, can you be tested? This is why, backpedaling back to Job, God knew Job was his faithful servant, that even if he took everything, and when he took everything away from him, that he still had faith in God, no matter what, that he still showed God that he was not going to grow weary in well-doing. Next, we have Ruth. Now, Ruth's loyalty to Naomi and her faithfulness, despite personal loss, hardship, it led to God's blessings and a significant place, actually, in Jesus's lineage. Again, key theme, faithfulness. We all experience loss in our lives. Loss of a loved one, infertility sometimes, loss of a pet. A lot of different ways that we experience loss in our lives. But through the hardship, what these people have shown us throughout the Bible is that we still, what we are going through does not cancel out God's promises. It does not cancel out what God has said over our lives, what God has promised over our lives. Don't get that confused. God has not left you because you are experiencing certain things. You have to run the race well and finish it to completion. This is going to mature you in the things of the faith, in the things of God. So in conclusion, we have to remind ourselves that consistent prayer, prayer works. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Prayer works, reliance on God for his strength and his guidance in moments of weakness, or even in moments of happiness and joy. Having fellowship with other Christ followers and support from your local church community is so important. Maintain your focus and your motivation to pursue the things of God. Whenever you want to learn something new, you want to learn how to use a new app. When Threads came out, everyone's immediately figuring out how to work Threads, all these different things. We put our energy into so many other things. We have to put more energy into the things of God because it trickles down into every other area of your life. I would love to know in the comment section down below, have you ever felt like giving up? What helped you to keep going? I want you to share your story. I want you to share your testimony because you never know how it can be encouraging to someone else. I don't care what it is that you have gone through. Share it, you know? Encouraging others through our testimony is why we go through things, so that we can be of encouragement to our fellow brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And then Lastly, you can answer the question of what are some practical ways that you fix your eyes on Jesus in your daily life? Because it is a daily battle. It's for your soul, daily battle for your soul. So with that being said, angels, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. Thank you guys so much for watching. Do not forget to subscribe to my other vlogging channel, Hot and Holy. And I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next episode. Mwah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.